Well, let me just go ahead and address the elephant in the room. I thought there was another hallelujah chorus coming. Thank you, Miss Jenny. Would you join me in thanking the choir? Sunday after Sunday, they have worked to prepare this cantata, and I looked up the word cantata this week. Cantata simply means to sing, and they have sung beautifully, and they've led our hearts in worship, and I'm just so grateful for each of them. I'm so grateful for Sandy and her leadership, and I'm thankful that together we've been able to express our praise to the one who sent his son into this world to save the world. Aren't you thankful we have a reason to sing today? We do have a reason to sing. I did a study not long ago looking at singing throughout the scriptures, and one thing that is remarkably clear is that whenever God does a work of salvation, whenever God does a work of saving his people, whether it be delivering his people Israel out of Egyptian bondage and rescuing them in a miraculous way, whether it be the salvation that he brought to Barak and the rest as they defeated Sisera, whether it be Hannah's song of praise when she finds out she's going to have a son named Samuel, and on down the line, David, as he's rescued from Saul, God always puts a song of deliverance, a song of praise into the hearts of his people. And that's why we sing for joy today. And I'm so thankful that our choir has led us in that. In 1943, Philip Van Doren Stern wrote a short story called The Greatest Gift. I don't know if you've ever heard of that short story. It's pretty famous because after he wrote it, no one was really interested in it. He tried to get it published, but there were no takers. And so he produced some copies of his own and distributed about 200 of them to family and friends around Christmas time. Well, it just so happened that one of those copies made its way to Hollywood, and it fell into the right hands, and it was turned into a screenplay. And you might know the name of this film, It's a Wonderful Life, that Christmas classic with Jimmy Stewart. Interestingly enough, the original short story that Philip Stern wrote was titled The Man Who Was Never Born. And if you've seen the movie, you know the story. A theologically incorrect angel named Clarence rescues this troubled man named George, and in an effort to earn his wings, Clarence shows George what life would be like, how terrible things would be if he had never been born into that town of Bedford Falls. The comparison is obviously inadequate, but when I read that story this week, an infinitely more important question popped into my mind. What if the Lord Jesus Christ had never been born? I can just tell you, there'd be no reason to sing. There'd be no reason for our choir to have these beautiful robes and stoles on. There'd be no reason for us to be gathered here today. There'd be no reason at all for me to miss the hallelujah chorus. There'd be no reason for any of it. I think there's three answers in Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 that tell us what would have happened if Jesus had not been born. And I just want to share these things with you quickly. And the first thing I want you to see, verses 9 to 18. If Jesus had never been born, there would be no salvation from sin. Without a Christmas night, there would be no Good Friday, and there would be no resurrection morning. If Christ had not been born, the cross would not have happened. Jesus would have never come and laid down his life as a wrath-bearing substitute, a sacrifice, one who would bear the penalty of our sin. If Christ had not been born, we would have no hope of forgiveness, no hope of heaven. no hope of salvation at all. In verse 9 in Hebrews chapter 2, the author connects the reality of Christ's incarnation, His coming into the world, with His death. He says, "But we do see Him who was made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God He might taste death for everyone." As this passage teaches, it is not cliche to say that Jesus was born to die. Jesus was born to die. You've seen the picture, perhaps, of the manger scene. And looming over the manger scene is the shadow of the cross. That's the right image. One writer has said, "The glory of Christmas culminates in the suffering of Good Friday and the triumph of Easter." Jesus came into the world to die. That's why He came. He came so that through His death, He might give life to everyone who believes in Him. Notice in verse 10, the author continues to just build on the benefits of what Christ has done. He says, "For it was fitting that He, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For He who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why He's not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, 'I will tell of your name to my brothers in the midst of the congregation. I will sing your praise.' And again, I will put my trust in Him. And again, behold, I and the children God has given me." There's so much there that we don't have time to unpack. But for now, would you just pick up on that family language that the writer uses here? It describes Christians as those who have been adopted into the family of God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God by divine right, and those who believe in Him are children of God by adoption. Jesus, this passage teaches us, is our elder brother, and we are welcomed into the family of God because of what our elder brother has done for us. And all this, beloved, these verses ought to remind us that if Jesus did not come, if He was never born, if He never lived and died and rose again, there would be no adoption into the family of God. We each would still be children of the devil. That there would be no justification by faith. There'd be no being made right with God. There'd be no future glorification and the hope of one day being with God and being made perfect. There'd be none of that. If Jesus did not come, there would be no salvation for us. But beloved, Jesus came. He came. And there's reason to sing. And He came. And when He is coming, the angel would even come to His mother Mary and declare, "You shall name Him Jesus, Yeshua, for He will save His people from their sins." Hallelujah. What a Savior. I think there's a second thing in this text for us to notice. If Jesus had never been born, there'd be no victory over death. There'd be no victory over death. Statistics tell us that over 157,000 people die every single day. The math works out like this. Every 5 seconds, 9 souls enter into eternity. Nine souls. And if the Lord delays His coming, there is eventually going to be a span of 5 seconds where you will be one of those 9 souls. And I will be one of those 9 souls passing into eternity. Death is coming to all of us because we all have sinned. And it doesn't take much to look around and realize that our world absolutely fears death. It does everything it can to avoid talking about death, looking at death, thinking about death. And rightfully so, because apart from Jesus Christ, there is no hope in death. There's only fear of death and what comes after death, judgment to come. But as believers, as those who know and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the fear of death has been removed. Death has been swallowed up in victory. It's lost its sting. The next two verses in this passage echo that reality, that those who are trusting in Jesus don't have to fear death because He has conquered it. Look at verse 14. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, He Himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death He might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. You see it there in verse 14, the glory of Christmas connected to our salvation. Jesus partook in flesh and blood. He became fully human. He became just like us in order that He might taste death for us. And not just any death, the death that we deserve. Just consider this. He's the only one who ever deserved to live. And yet He laid down His life for those who only deserve to die. And all this to free us from the curse of sin and death. Think this over in your heart of hearts. Don't just let it go in one ear and out the other. If Jesus had not been born, there would certainly be no reason to sing. And that's because all of us would be living enslaved to the fear of death. Perhaps we would all go around saying, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And we'd try to put on an act as if we're not afraid of anything. We're too big and bad and tough. We'd perhaps try to impress others. And deep down, we'd be petrified knowing that one second that is coming, our life would end, and then after death would be judgment as we awaited that horrific, just fate of eternal hell, separated from God forever. That's if Jesus did not come. But again, He came. He was born, and He lived, and He died, and He rose again, and in doing so, He conquered. He conquered over death. He conquered over hell. He conquered over Satan himself. The sting of death has been removed. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Defeated people have nothing to sing about. Victorious people have every reason to sing. And Christ is victorious, and we're sharing in His victory. If you've put your faith in Christ, you've been granted eternal life. Eternal life. Does it mean that Christians don't have a little bit of a trepidation about how we're going to die and when we're going to die? But it does mean that we have no fear of what happens after we die. That's why we sing, not just at Christmas time, but all the time, no guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man could ever pluck me from His hand till He returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ, I'll stand. Oh, we've got something to sing about, don't we? Well, third and finally, and you can sing also because we're already on the third point. How quick is this? Don't get used to it. Beloved, if Jesus had never been born, there would be no mediator between God and man. Look down to verse 17 in this text. It says, therefore, He had to be made like His brothers in every respect, so that He might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. The only way that there could be a true mediator between holy God and sinful man is if there is a perfect mediator who is on equal footing with both parties involved. And beloved, Jesus Christ is that mediator. There is no other. He's the only mediator between God and man because He Himself is the God-man. Truly God, truly man, in one person. He can relate to God because He is God. He can relate to man because He is man. And as proof, notice what it goes on to say in verse 18. For because He Himself has suffered when tempted, He is able to help those who are being tempted. Someone, more than just one, but someone needs to be reminded of this truth, that Jesus, the God-man, having experienced more than 30 years of life in this world, He can relate to us as a sympathetic Savior. He knows what it's like to be tempted. He knows what it's like to suffer. He can sympathize with you in your every trial, trouble, and temptation. And yet in all of this, Hebrews 4 reminds us, He was without sin. He not only sympathizes with our weaknesses, He can save us from them. He's both the perfect high priest and the perfect sacrifice for sin. And all of this is made possible because of what happened on that first Christmas. Because He came. The Son of God came into the world and took on human flesh. Charles Spurgeon said it this way, "Man may now go up to God because God came down to man." Beloved, as God's people, in light of these things, what else could we do but sing for joy? Joy, joy, joy. For those of us who, by God's grace, know Christ as Savior and Lord, these songs should flow forth from our hearts day after day because we know that if Jesus had not been born, there'd be no hope for us. We would still be lost in our sins. We would still be enslaved to the fear of death. We'd have no hope of a mediator between us, wretched, sinful people, and holy God. We would only live with a fearful expectation of wrath to come. And I just want to remind you as we prepare to close, that is exactly what we deserve. Our God would be absolutely just to have never sent us a Savior at all. He would still be who He is, holy, righteous, just, and good. He did not give a Savior for fallen angels. Is it no surprise then that the salvation we're talking about are things which angels long to look into? We don't deserve any of this, but God has done it. Not according to us, but according to His own steadfast love, His own grace and mercy. He has sent us a Savior. We have every reason to sing. And if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, if you're living apart from Jesus Christ, I want you to consider something as we close. You are living and you are heading towards an eternity. Remember, and you don't know which second's going to be your last, you are heading towards an eternity as if God never sent His Son. You're still lost in your sins, enslaved to the fear of death, living with no mediator between you and God, separated from Him. I want to plead with you. And with all the truth that our choir has so beautifully sung this morning, you have heard the gospel presented. Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. Not to make good people better people, because there are no good people. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. He has done everything necessary for your sins to be forgiven, to escape hell, and to graciously receive the gift of eternal life in heaven with God forever. Christ has done it all, not only in his birth, but in his perfect life, his atoning death, and his glorious resurrection. And now the Bible says that if you would receive the benefits of what he's done, you must repent. Turn from your sins. Turn away from your rebellion against God. Turn away from your self-righteousness. Turn away from chasing after this world and turn to Jesus Christ. Place your faith in him, which looks like glad-hearted surrender. Nothing in my hands I bring. Lord Jesus, simply to your cross I cling. You did everything. Save me, the sinner. There could be no greater Christmas gift you could receive this very day than the gift of salvation in God's Son. Let's bow together. Father, thank you once again for the beauty of what we've heard sung to us. Thank you for the gift of song. We could talk about these truths, and we should, but there is something amazing that happens in our hearts when we hear this truth sung. It sticks with us, and it impacts us, even to the very day when you take us out of this world and bring us home. These songs will be with us. We thank you for the gift of music, and we thank you so much for our choir. We thank you, Lord, that you've empowered them once again to practice and to prepare and to do all things unto your glory and to lead us in worship today. We pray as your people that these songs would just overflow in our heart day after day, and that we'd encourage one another as we continue to sing this truth in the Christmas season and to sing your truth week after week. Father, help us to really, really think deeply about what we've been reminded of today, that all of this, all that we've heard, is a gift of your grace, something we do not deserve. Help us to consider that today, Lord, and let the result be deeper worship of you. And now as we respond to your truth, I pray, Lord, that you would stir hearts, that those who are living apart from Christ today would come to know him and trust him and love him and serve him. Father, send your Spirit to do the work now that only he can do, as we look to you in this time of invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.